So, the next thing I want to do is just draw on some lessons for us and some similarities between Chetul Rinpoche's methods and our movement. The first thing is that Chetul Rinpoche does not give long initiations. Ratnaketu's experience is not unusual. He is well known to tell people, go and do this practice for 6 months, then come and tell me what has happened. It was Chetul Rinpoche who gave Kabante the Green Tara practice. And from what I understand, part of this has formed the basis for how we teach sadhana. Secondly, he is considered to be a maverick. Some Tibetan lamas find him a threat, as he does things differently from the norm. He has not been lured by the American money circuit, and you will find that although many Tibetans and Nepalese know him very well, no Westerners do. This is also the way he likes it. He does not want to be famous. This reminds me of some of the things that Bante has said about the time he set up the movement here. He did not feel he was a born leader, but set things up as this was necessary. Also, we do things differently to most schools, and sometimes other Buddhists do not know what to make of us. Thirdly, he is staunchly vegetarian, and this is most unusual for Tibetans. Fourthly, he is married. He has been married since the 1960s, and he has had 2 girls. He made a comment to Ratnaketu at one point, on a previous meeting, saying, robes are not that important, the mind is most important. Fourthly, he has funded many houses and retreat centres for lay people. He has set up conditions for ordinary people to be able to go and practice more intensively. Again, this is most unusual. The building just next to where I stay in Parapang is one such place. There are nuns and lay women living there, practicing together. If it was not for Chetul Rinpoche's generosity, they would have nowhere to live and no food to eat. I met Chetul Rinpoche last autumn. I had been working in this area for just 6 months and heard that Chetul Rinpoche was living here. This was a complete coincidence, and I was very happy that these circumstances had come together. Kemisiri was with me and was also keen to meet him. I called Anoh Marathi, who is now one of his students, to see how we could go about meeting him. He told us not to bother, and that he only sees his own students once a year. However, I persevered, and one of the Nepali people we are working with managed to arrange a meeting. This seemed to come about partly of the work my charity was doing in the area, and partly because he had been sick, and the hospital needed a doctor to cast an eye over him. Sarasvati, his daughter, is often an obstacle to seeing him, as she is very protective of him since the incident in 2002. So we arranged a time to go up to his place when she had gone shopping in Kathmandu. I did not have any particular questions for him. I just was keen to sit with him and to see him. So Kemisiri, myself, and one of my Nepali colleagues drove up to where he was staying. He had been unwell and was staying in a friend's house that was more comfortable than his own whilst he recovered. We waited for a while in the lounge to see him, and then we were ushered into a room where it looked like Rinpoche had been put for the occasion of meeting us. It felt like he wasn't in his own surroundings. He was sitting on a chair, wearing a bright orange fleece hat with matching fleece jacket, and his legs were covered in a blanket. He has a wild beard, and I could see how he would be more at home in a cave in Tibet. We offered our scarves to him. He put my scarf back around my neck in a very careful and purposeful way. I wasn't sure if he could see properly, as he kept smoothing it out and moving it over my head as he found my neck. Next, he gave a red cord, some mendup, kind of medicine, a picture of himself and a picture of Padmasambhava. We sat on the floor and his assistant translated for us. We said we were students of Sangharakshita. He smiled and started laughing a beautiful, pure, resonant laugh, saying, ah, yes, Ogyen, I remember him. He is a very good teacher. I informed him about the medical work we were starting in the area. He kept nodding and saying, very good. I thought it would be a bit rude to ask him for money to help the project on our first meeting, so I didn't. I then asked if I could come back and visit him the next time I came, and he said yes. We were probably in there no longer than 5 minutes. The main thing I felt, whilst I was with him, was that his voice was deep and pure like a Vajra bell. I had never heard such purity. I also felt like he was emanating positivity or love. There seemed to be this field around him without him saying or doing anything. These are the main things I experienced when I met him. I felt very happy afterwards, very light and positive. When I returned a couple of months later, hoping to see him again, he had gone walkabout.